Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and the never-ending little three-week cycle of the general election is still going. Quickly, lads, I know it's been great. Oh, I can't believe the boost to the listeners. It's great. The numbers are unreal. It's actually quite flattering to see so many of you are listening, but we do need support. It ain't going to work. It won't be here in 6 weeks' time, because simply put, we can't continue to pay for it. You need to head to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. We need support. We're doing this little independent thing. Martin, we're an accidental platform.
We are an accidental platform, but we do need people to commit to keep us going. So please do as Tony says, jump on there, become a patron. Tony, we'll jump straight in. Today is Manifesto Day. And let's just caveat this, because Simon Coveney caveated this. All election promises are aspirational. Now, that means that if Brexit is nice and even and Ireland gets everything what it wants, this may happen in their manifestos. If there's no outside shock, no recession. So really and truly, this is pig and a poke stuff. And even at that, at pig and a poke stuff, it's business as usual.
Yeah, BAU is one of the phrases I use a lot. And when you look at what is actually being promised now, so far today, we'd Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael released their manifestos. And we have to confess, we've read through the headlines, read through the stuff that's available online. But, you know, one fella is adjusting the knob on the, up on the left, right, left hand corner.
Fianna Fáil is tweaking Fine Gael's policies. Fine Gael is tweaking Fianna Fáil's policies. But and policies, I'm calling them, and it's bollocksology, I should be calling them, Tony, really and truly. It's awful
They're wedded to market solutions. Once you're still wedded to market solutions, we have to accept, right? The scientific community says we're in the midst of a man-made climate breakdown. For stuff to happen, we have to move away from the BAU model. We need to actually change how we do things. And if that's going to work, that doesn't mean it's a negative thing, Martin. That means it's an opportunity to change things for the benefit of more people. But what they're doing is tweaking at the edges. Again, looking for, let's have this SSIA scheme for housing. Let's help the buy scheme. The definition of the help the buy scheme is that you are not actually, a bank has deemed you not eligible for a mortgage. And now the state says that you're credit worthy. I'm sorry. I just cannot accept that that is a way. The only way to do that is to bring down the price of homes. Homes should be affordable for those people who the banks are saying no. And that scares a lot of people. But the reality is, if we were serious, these manifestos would go a lot further, and they don't. We've seen 2% reduction of carbon emissions promised when everybody says we need to be going to 7%.
Seven, yeah.
And a bloody Nobel Peace Prize winner who was sitting here a couple of weeks ago said we need to go to 10%.
Let me just, on SSIAs, just in case anybody has any doubt how this works. What an SSIA is, taxpayers' money going directly to developers. Directly. It has never been anything else. That's what they've done. The Tories did in the UK. We did it here before. All it does is drive house prices up. This is absolute madness. Madness.
If you're wedded to what is ultimately neoliberal capitalism, all your solutions are supposed to be provided by the market. If you don't actually think that housing is a human right, you think it's a commodity. And they still think of it as a commodity. And until we actually change that mindset. But luckily, every party, bar Fine Gael, have said that they don't think housing is a human right. Fianna Fáil have said it, but I don't know how committed to it they actually are. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But housing is going to be the gateway to fixing your education, your healthcare.
Everything. You need your cave first, Tony.
You can't participate in society with it unless you have access to your own dignity. And that's where it starts. Martin, just in a couple of the other things that have happened, the phony war that's going on, I'm kind of happy that's going on. I'm happy to see. I saw people getting upset that someone wrote an article saying that the winner of the Micheál versus Leo debate was Mary Lou.
Yeah, well, it was pretty obvious. It was a very flat debate. And I know we went into this, Tony. But it has extended on in that their manifestos are simply mirror images of each other. Hmm. There is no new thinking in it. There is no way out of the mess that we are in at the moment. I mean, one of the things that was brought up, and it was Fine Gael, was tax cuts. And they say that the other parties are not doing for anything for those earning over 35,000. Now, let's look at it in reality. 85% of the population of this country have an income of less than 50,000. Less than 30,000, it's 60%. So Fine Gael are again focusing on what they call the middle, which is not the middle at all.
We know that. That's historically their base. That's the ABC one. It's you're either at the top or your aspirations are to get to the top. That is their base. And I don't blame them for that. I just think it's funny that we get upset that they've managed to change the goalposts on that. They've shifted them so in such a way that we believe that that's the middle. Of course, that's not the middle. They talk in those terms, but everybody knows that if that were true, Ireland would not have the highest income inequality within the
EU. And this came up a good bit yesterday, and they were talking about transfers in Ireland, social transfers in Ireland. Yes, we are very good at social transfers, but we need to be very good at social transfers because the inequality is so bad. It's so very bad. We're the worst in the EU for inequality. You don't fix that with social transfers. You fix the inequality.
Yeah, no, but see, that's the problem with that is when you throw money at a problem, all you're doing is keeping the wolf from the door in terms of people actually going, no, this has to end. And what you can't put a price on is the stress knowing that, you know, over 52% of households are dependent upon that to be lifted out of the at-risk of poverty. These are the state's own statistics, folks. I'm not making this nonsense up.
Well, the other thing that came up in both Fine Gael's manifesto was pensions have turned into a very big issue. Mm. And they've bandied figures around. Willie O'Dea said it cost over 400 million a year. Finfaxa said it'll cost about 300 million a year. And that's to maintain the pension at 65. Now, we know that 1 billion per year is going unpaid in employers' PRSI. This is not rocket science. Make the employers pay the PRSI they owe, and you can pay everybody their pension to retire at 65. This is a simple, simple choice. Now, another one they came up with was 25 quid increase to the pension over the next 5 years. Well, what use is that to you if you're going to have to retire at 68? I mean, they're saying they'll increase it, but they are taking away years of it from you. So again, another nonsense, Tony. You know, they're going to recruit 5,000 nurses over the next 5 years. They haven't been able to do that over the last 5 years with plan after plan after plan.
The Taoiseach, I put a tweet up showing how in 2014, and I think it's good that you brought that up because they're basing their plan on that it's not enough. This is the Fine Gael slogan. It's not look forward. It's not enough. We've done this, but it's not enough. We've done that, but it's not enough. And in 2014, a GP tweeted him from Australia and he said, I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z as the Minister for Health, but it's not enough. And now they're coming out and saying there's a GP contract, which doesn't exist. They're going to recruit nurses and they haven't done it. That's like someone coming in. That's me coming into my mom and saying, Mom, here's my school report. It's really bad, and then looking down at the floor and hoping that when I say to her it's not enough, she's gonna not clobber me around the ear.
Now Coveney had a go at Fianna Fáil over Brexit. They keep trying to sell us Brexit as something that's exclusively Fine Gael. Like yesterday, they were giving out about slaunch care that left parties were trying to sell that as their idea when it's cross party. But they're doing the exact same thing with Brexit, trying to sell it as exclusively a Fine Gael deal. Now, you got to look at Fianna Fáil and you got to be really honest about this. And I mean, really honest. There wasn't much going for Fianna Fáil except that Bertie Ahern was a good negotiator. And we have to accept that they are very good at negotiating. They negotiated the Good Friday Agreement. There is no reason to believe that Fianna Fáil are any better or worse at Brexit than Fine Gael are. So Off the high horse for Adcar.
I'd actually even laugh at that as well on both counts, because you got to remember, it's not Ireland versus the UK in Brexit. It's the UK against the EU 27. So I'm sorry.
Adcar said there about negotiating trade deals. No, Ireland can't specifically negotiate a trade deal with the UK. We can't do it. It's on a Europe-wide basis. So that's all bullshit. Every bit of it is bullshit.
Yeah, there's a nice thing to be had to have nice people out there representing you, but you can't actually take credit for, you know, the sun coming up and then the sun going down every evening. That's the natural cycle of things. And yeah, you know, the Sláintecare one was quite funny, looking for credit for Sláintecare. It was a Sock Dems initiative initially. So, I mean, I've seen things published recently where there's local candidates taking credit for things that were just cross party things, and there were things that they weren't even involved with, but they wanted a picture taken in the end. I suppose that's politics. I don't expect that. The electorate needs to understand that that's where this is going. Finally, you know, what's clear is there's no difference between them on the manifestos. They're very, very same. What is clear is that actually, if you want change, if you want revolutionary change, and the word revolutionary isn't a scary word. It actually means changing it for the better now, because what we have here is incrementally things are getting shitter. Incrementally things are getting slightly worse every time. And you have to say, well, actually, you know, at least the pace of things getting shitter is actually not too bad. Well, if you want to change it, realize this. The cost of doing nothing on climate action is 5 times more than us actually addressing it. So economically, talking about the Fine Gael's method of 2% reductions, that's actually going to cost us more in the long term. If we don't do the changes that we need to do, if we don't have housing as a human right and we don't introduce a floor for people, we continue with these things. We are storing up so many problems in this country. There are currently nearly 4,000 children in emergency accommodation. There's been over 10,000 already through that process. They call them adverse childhood experiences.
Yeah.
We're life limiting these children right now and for the rest of their days.
And there is no plan in either manifesto to tackle it, Tony. No plan. They talk about rent certainty, yet they have both ruled out a rent freeze based on a legal opinion, which is just a legal opinion, which, you know, until it's put to the Supreme Court, you cannot say that property rights supersede rights to housing. You can't.
Listen, I'll say again, go to Home for All, homeforgood.ie, check that out. But what I would say on that, it's very difficult, Martin, to say that these are the rights that, you know, the right to property in the Constitution when we don't have a right to housing in the Constitution. Those things need to be looked at. But also what needs to be looked at is the fact that international law says that everybody has a right to adequate housing, and we don't have that in this country.
At this stage, the riots who come in and buy up apartments have more rights to property. REITs, riots. Well, riot is what I want to do to a REIT. But they have more rights to property than citizens living in this country. And that's not right. And neither Fianna Fáil nor Fine Gael have any will or inclination to change this. I'm so disappointed with their manifestos. It's more of the same business, is what it is.
BAU.
Business as usual.
We have a couple of candidates coming up for you now. We have first-time candidate in Labour, Ciarán Ahern, and he's going to talk about why he was crazy enough to... he just got married and then decided he's going to run. So,
Two crazy things in 1 year, Tony. Yeah.
I don't know, can you trust Ciarán? And then you'll hear from John Lyons, who's been on the pod a couple of times already, running as an independent.
And I just want to say with John was a huge force in Repeal. Huge. Everybody recognises that. John is a very clever guy. Have a good listen to John. Now, I have to say, nearly 2 weeks and me and Tony are utterly exhausted. I mean, the two of us are sitting here wall-falling because we're going through this stuff day in, day out. Look, we need patrons on board. We don't get a single cent for doing this. We do it out of the goodness of our hearts and in the hope that we can change something and make Ireland a better place. So do your bit, please. Sign up to Patreon.
We're delighted to be joined on the line by first-time Labour candidate Ciarán Ahern in Dublin South West. Ciarán, thanks so much for taking our call.
Not at all. Thanks for having me, Tony.
No, we've met before, so it would be unfair to pretend that we hadn't. And I have to say, Ciarán, as someone who's met you, what were you thinking, mate? getting in? Why are you running?
That is a good question. That is a good question and something I am asking myself on a daily basis since last Tuesday when it all came together that I was going to be on the Labour ticket for a general election and running for something for the first time. Like, I've never run for anything before in my life. I'm interested in politics. I've been involved in the background. I've been involved in campaigns. I met you before at a Gary Gannon fundraiser. Mm-hmm. I know Gary well through his work with my wife Maeve and the, you know, Justice for Magdalens campaign to not sell off Sean McDermott Street, which he's actually just been really successful with this week. And I suppose I've been a solicitor, I've trained as a solicitor, I've been involved in the background in a number of campaigns, and I've sort of, I've seen the capacity for campaigning to actually make a difference, and it's people like Gary who would have kind of inspired me to maybe take this step and say, well, maybe I can add something, maybe I can add the skills that I have to try and bring a new way of doing things, a new way of working, a new way of looking at the same old problems. And that's really what has prompted me to do it.
Mm. And what do you hope to achieve if you get in, if you get elected?
Well, like, there are practical things when it comes to climate change or public transport and things like that I'd like to achieve, and cycling, which I'm really passionate about, from both health and environmental perspective. I suppose, as a broader approach, I'd like to be part of a new generation that's trying to create a kinder, fairer society. And the work that I've done with Gary and Maeve is part of that. So in terms of, you know, honouring people who've suffered institutional abuse and treating them appropriately, allowing them access to archives of materials to understand and opening archives, allowing that kind of thing, talking about our history, and embracing the fact that we as a country have made mistakes, owning up to that, and trying to move on as a better, kinder country. And I just, you see the attempted cover-ups of all the files, the retention record bill that's been going through the Oireachtas recently, the fact that adopted people don't have access to their birth certs and a lot of their records automatically. Mm. And I kind of can't understand why we take that approach to people who have already been hurt and marginalised.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem necessary.
We've seen that now, and I know we've spoken to, obviously, Gary Maeve and Conal O'Farrill, who writes very well about it in the Irish Examiner. But I suppose, yeah, in terms of, you did very well with your launch, with your Not Bare to Your Hearn campaign. But tongue in cheek and all as it is, as a first time candidate, are you finding that you need, is it hard to break through, and is it hard to get your name out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, using comedy to break through was something I think it does work. It clearly worked for us. I suppose in terms of getting your name out there, I have 3 weeks, like literally going from 0 to 100 in 3 weeks. So we have to think about things a little differently and try a few approaches that maybe if you were an established politician may not be appropriate or may not work for you. So certainly we're trying to think outside the box in that. And I'm very lucky that I'm good friends with Sean Flanagan.
Yeah.
And he has been willing to go out on a limb for me. But we grew up together, and he's been really enthusiastic about this campaign, which has been really nice. Because it's terrifying in a way. You know, I'm used to working in a very structured environment, and I am certainly out of any sort of form of structure and into something that is just not my comfort zone. So to have the support of my friends and family, and just saying, we don't care about the Labour Party, we don't care about any party, you know, there's people supporting me who are just supporting me for me because they believe in me and trust me to do a good job.
Talking about comfort zones, Ciarán, Coalition, your leader has ruled out coalition with Sinn Féin.
Has he?
Fianna Fáil are throwing shapes that they'd like to.
I thought he said afterwards that he came back on that and said that he might talk after the election, Martin. Sorry, I could be wrong. Kieran, you might know better.
Just saying, if the numbers fall properly, Kieran, and there is a reasonable chance that they could, will Labour coalesce with the rest of the left in a broad left coalition?
I certainly would hope so. I think what Brendan has said up to now is obviously being quite political, but he said it would be arrogant of us to determine right now where, you know, to rule anything out.
Mm.
I think what's most important, like, Labour is a party of policies. So at least that's why I'm in it. It's to get, you know, it's to get our policies implemented. So I suppose the question becomes then, what type of grouping, what type of coalition are we most likely going to get our policies implemented in?
Mm.
So ultimately, like, we don't know how many TDs, we don't know whether we'll even be in the mix. It's impossible to say now, but I do think that the time is coming for a total alternative. And this is what we've been picking up on the doors over the last few weeks. People are sick of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, two sides of the same coin. They do actually want some new ideas and a new way of looking at things.
Which
a new way of looking at the same old problems.
I pitched it yesterday, and it would be absolutely just, even if the numbers allowed it, if the broad coalition of the people who say they're progressive, liberal and left sat down and gave themselves 2 weeks to talk to each other before anybody engaged with the other two, I think even that would send a really positive message to show that there is a third way as opposed to just a one and a half kind of way, you know, if that's fair.
And that's a real threat to us as well, to any party. So like, you hear Saoirse McHugh talking about it yesterday, in terms of her fears for the Greens going into government, with one of the main parties, you know, we'd share the same fears because we have things we want to do. And going into government the last time has set the Labour movement back years. You know, we have a huge amount of trust to rebuild. And you know, ultimately, we have to also think, like, what is the best thing for the movement?
Mm.
Can you tell us what you'd like to say to your constituents? Should you be elected, what would you like to achieve?
What's your pitch, buddy?
Yeah, what's your pitch?
Okay, well, I suppose I've been trying to set the doors now for the last week, but I'm a new candidate. I grew up, born and raised in South Dublin. I'm aware of the great things that happen in South Dublin. Like, we have amazing schools and clubs and societies that I was lucky enough to be a part of growing up and having the benefit of all of these things that we need to preserve that. I want people growing up now to have the same opportunities that I did. But if you vote for me, you're going to vote for someone who will work really hard. I care deeply about our country and about treating people fairly and equally, and, you know, trying to reprioritize the government's view from maybe protecting vested interests to trying to just protect people. That's what I work at. You know, I've been involved in the community for years, through work volunteering in schools and in other community groups, and I want to enhance that. I want to see what I can do to help our community groups, to facilitate the work that they're doing. Like, I'm not a person that has all the answers here. Any politician that comes along and tells you they can solve all your problems immediately is probably not telling you the entire truth. But what you will get with me is someone who will work with anyone and who will work really hard to try and make this country a much better place. A more tolerant place.
Thanks for taking our call, Kieran. Thanks for giving us a bit of time. We wish you the best in the election.
And Kieran, thanks for your time. You know, it's great to see new people putting themselves forward, and it's very encouraging because there is, whether, you know, successful or not, it's a brave thing to do, and best of luck to you, because we need more people who feel uncomfortable about the idea of politics. I think that's actually a good sign. Thanks, buddy. We're delighted to be joined on the line by independent councillor for Dublin City Council and candidate in Dublin Bay North, John Lyons. John, good to talk to you again.
And to you, Tony, I'm Martin. How you keeping?
Not so bad, John. Nice to talk to you again.
John, listen, you've a long track record in this game, and you haven't given up yet. Why are you still at it, John?
Well, look, I mean, it hasn't been that long. It's been a few years, just shy of a decade. And what do you do? I city councillor for 6 years, and in that time, with each passing year, you would ask yourself that question, because at local government level, there's little to no power in terms of autonomy for raising our own finances and making our own policy decisions. We're pretty much dominated by national government in that respect. And so, with the local elections coming up last year, I did ask myself genuinely, how effective are you in there? And I made the decision that, look, one council seat that goes to somebody on the left who will actually raise the issue that are actually a real concern to people, particularly obviously in my area, housing, for a lot of people. And I think that, that role that you can play at that level alone is worth contesting an election. And it's better that that piece goes to somebody on the radical left than to another, opportunist, careerist member of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and the others who have no real, I believe, intent in fighting, genuinely fighting on behalf and with people to resolve the many issues that currently face. Go ahead.
That brings me to the second question then, that it's ultimately, what is, if you're successful in becoming a TD, I mean, you're an independent now, what are you hoping to achieve? What would be your, as you said, what are those causes you want to fight for?
Yeah. Well, look, again, my politics, I'm a socialist, is about collective action. Always is, always has been and always will be. I don't believe that any one individual by themselves can achieve the kind of change that we need to see. So it is about working together with people, genuinely working with people in the communities that I represent in Dublin Bay North and the new areas of the constituency that I'm getting to know now and over the last period of time. And look, it is housing, planning, health, three big areas, and encapsulated in that and all the other policies is action on climate change. Mm. So look, I think genuinely there is a whole cohort of people out there, lads, who are just not being listened to. They don't exist in the political world. They're working class. They are at the sharpest edge of the housing crisis, and them and their children don't exist. The people who are fully dependent, wholly dependent on our public health system, and I include my own family in that, just don't exist in the world of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. I think we've a 3-6 society, to be honest with you, where people go into an A&E, they're forced to sit in a chair for 2.5 days. They don't get to a ward. They get to a, hastily reopened day ward in some unit that have to cancel all of its elective procedures just to those tickets. I think that's sick. There's a lack of dignity, there's a lack of respect, and there's a lack, ultimately, of care within that. And our hospital staff, they're overworked, they're under-resourced. And this is normal, apparently, in this country. It's normal to have children waiting for speech and language assessments. And then they wait 12 to 14 months for that. And then they're told if they actually need intervention, they're going to be waiting another 12 to 14 months or more. Okay, so that's sick. To my mind, the priorities of this particular political establishment and how they structure the economy and the society, to my mind, is sick. So we need to change it. I am standing as an independent, and I'll be honest to you and your listeners, that wasn't the choice that I wanted to make. But because of some of the difficulties on the left, there's a choice that I ultimately had to make. And we can probably speak about that in a few minutes' time.
Yep.
So what I will do is I hope to be as rooted and more rooted in the area that I represent. I mean, working with people, spending as much time in the area, obviously you have to be in the Parliament too. And in the Parliament, introducing the kind of legislation that will actually have a positive effect and impact upon people. And I would start with ensuring that planning in this city, we need to revoke the strategic housing development legislation that was introduced by Coveney when he was minister before he ran away from it, and then Murphy and his guidelines on heights that he issued, which completely unilaterally ripped up the city development plan with regard to heights, and has created a planning environment in the city that is completely in favour of developers. Those who have land, those who are speculating on land and property, to the complete and utter detriment of our communities, both present communities and future communities. Because all we have hundreds, more than 100 units bypassing the planning authority, going straight on Bolsonaro, completely undermining the democratic element of the planning system, completely, excising from the planning system the people and their local representatives. And we have a situation where Bolsonaro is staffed by some senior people who were once in the custom house that was being run by Fine Gael. So, ultimately, that has to be challenged. And I think I can play a key role in that with the experience, the unfortunate experience on the council in recent years, with the impact of those recent decisions with regard to planning. Housing, all these different issues that the left has been good on over the last number of years. Breed Smith Bill on no future licences to explore for oil and gas. That needs to be progressed. But the left has done well in terms of trying to introduce the legislation that will have a great positive impact on people in terms of health, housing, and also taking responsibilities on climate change seriously. But to my mind, it needs to be more radical than that, because it will become an echo chamber at the Dáil. You'll make a speech, you'll rip the video, you'll put it up on your YouTube page, and who's listening to it? You know, how many people out there are actually taking, you know, the time out to pay attention to what's going on in the Parliament? Not as many, I believe, as some people involved daily in politics actually think. So you have to be out. You have to be trying to get those campaigns up and running, or assisting existing campaigns, working with community groups, working with the trade unions who actually want to fight the political establishment and the setup that they've created over decades, really.
John, just come in there. You said yourself that you're out independent now at the moment. If the numbers fall right, what way are you fixed for a broad left coalition? Will you go back and work with people that you previously worked with? Will you work with people that you, on the left, that you wouldn't have been keen to work with in the past?
Or you might not consider to be
left at all.
Yeah. Self-identifying left in some terms, John.
Well, most certainly, anyone who is serious, not only about saying they want to see the kind of change that will benefit the struggling majority at the expense of that tiny minority who have this country in their pockets. I mean, in their pockets, they have this country sewn up, the top 10% of households. I mean, they have Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil in their pockets, and they have this society in their pockets. And the rest of us are struggling. To various degrees, we're struggling. Middle and low income people in particular are really struggling at the lower end. So I will work with anyone who is serious about that challenge in terms of reprioritising the needs of the majority. But also, the follow through is what kind of action is required. I mean, it's not enough just to say that they contest elections, which are hugely important in terms of getting a positive, progressive, socialist message out, but it's how do you see change happening? So I will work with anyone who really wants to fight, who really wants to campaign. Of course, that includes those who I've worked very closely with in the past, my party and others, and anyone who is on the left. It's not for me to identify them as being on the left, because I think we can get a bit pedantic or a bit all-knowing about it.
A bit intellectual, John.
What's that?
We can get a bit intellectual.
Well, look, again, you know, there's a whole world out there to be women. There's a whole country of, you know, populated by people who are struggling that we need to be engaging with. And if we're not doing that, and if we're talking to each other and pretending that our, you know, our force, our influence is bigger than it actually is, we need to cop on in terms of electorally our support. You know, it's very low. It's in the halfway place. I think socially our weight is more. I think there is a higher level of engagement, because we are the left engaged in our communities. But look, you know, we're coming from a low base. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have had 90-odd years of running this country. They have roots, particularly Fianna Fáil, and I see it every day. They are rooted because of those decades in power, at national particularly, but also at local government level. They are rooted everywhere. And even though they've taken a hit, and historically they're now at their lowest points combined, the two of them, at 50%, where previously they would have commanded 70 to 80% electoral support, they are still there. They are rooted. The Labour Party, which is the trade working class, they are still rooted, because they've been, you know, in existence for over 100 years. So it's going to take the left, the radical left, is new. It's only been around, you know, some would say, 10, 20, 30 years, however points you want to take and say that's how long we've been around. So we need to be serious about building together, not, and I mean, I don't care. Nobody has a divine right to have a free run at anything, or, you know, to assume that they've got this vote or that vote. You have to work for your vote. You can't, you know, you have to ask for it. If it's, you know, worth having, you should ask for it. But there is a suicidal element to the radical left right now, which, I mean, post-election, I thought we were going to have a discussion around this last year after the local election. There seems to be no learning from it. And here we are in general election, and we have talk from some people in relation to a progressive left government in the heat of an election with no serious discussion beforehand in the month preceding this election. That's farcical. That's an insult to people out there who can see the forces, the social forces, the political forces, and can see where we are in relation to that. We are small, and we need to build, and it will take a long time to do that. And, you know, come here, we have to cooperate, we have to work together, we have to stop being so unbelievably self-defeatingly sectarian just to build your own base. You know, it's, come here, lads, I'm getting older.
John,
10 years ago,
John,
this all would resolve itself in the heat of fighting back against austerity. I thought we'd have a common purpose, a common vision, and that would lead naturally to more cooperation. And ultimately, you know, at the time we had the United Left Alliance, which was a good model, and we frittered that away. And I said it, we are responsible for letting down people with regard to how the ULA's demise came about. And it was because the constituent elements were all just looking after their own particular patch, their own base. And that's, look, if that behaviour, if those habits of political organisation are going to continue, well, then we've no hope.
John, there's loads of hope.
John, look, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with us. Very informative, as always, John. As always, very informative.
I tell you one thing, listeners, and you'll always pick it up from John. But this is, we've spoken to John a few times. Integrity is you can't put a price on it. John, all the best of luck in the campaign in Dublin Bay North. Really appreciate it,
thank
mate.
You,
best of luck. Okay, talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye bye.